Let's turn now to the latest in one of the worst transportation disasters in North American history. Today, the Canadian Transportation Safety Board released the findings of its major investigation a little more than a year after 47 people were killed and an entire downtown was destroyed when a runaway train loaded with crude oil exploded in the center of Lac-Mégantic, Quebec. Now, we spoke with Mano Farmer last July. The train had exploded just blocks from her home.
We could feel the heat on our faces. It was hot. It was hot. We could feel the heat. And we were told that this cloud came to about 3,000 degrees. Can you imagine how hot that is? We could hear all kinds of exclamations, as you can imagine. And voila, our beautiful, patrimonial little city is gone in ashes.
It took 150 firefighters 4 days to put out that blaze. And today, Transport Canada's report points to mechanical and human failures, a lax safety culture, and even to government regulators as reasons for the explosion. The CBC's David Seglins has been covering the story. He joins us from Toronto. And Dave, so really a systematic apportioning of blame here. But let's start by telling us, if you could, what did we learn about exactly how that train became unmoored and rolled into Lac-Mégantic and exploded?
So you had a train that was 7 miles uphill from Lac-Mégantic. They were parking for the night, or he was parking for the night. Significant that it was a one-man crew. When they parked the train, he left the engine running, which kept the air brakes on. He also applied hand brakes, which were part of the rules. Now, he was supposed to do a test to see if the handbrakes would hold. But the practice in the company and of this engineer was that he left the air brakes on as well as the handbrakes. So this whole test to see if the handbrakes alone would hold the train on the grade, it gave what the Transportation Safety Board said was a false impression that the handbrakes alone would hold that train. And then you get this complicating factor. It's an old engine. It had some recent repairs. A fire in that running train that was keeping up the air pressure and the air brakes, it catches fire. The police, the fire department comes. They shut the power off. The air pressure from the engine that was feeding the air brakes bleeds off. There's not enough resistance from the handbrakes. The train starts to move. And as we know, it rolled downhill 7 miles, and it got to speeds, investigators say, of in excess of 65 miles an hour. The tankers go off the town at a sharp, or off the rails in a sharp curve of the town, and that's where we get the 6 million liters. That's close to 2 million, 3 million gallons of crude oil spilling into the streets and exploding,
causing that devastation in the town. I mean, so there's some of the mechanical and human failures that the report cites. But how critical is the report of the safety protocols in general, followed by the Montreal, Maine, and Atlantic Railway, which ran this train?
Well, scathing on two levels, for the company but also government, and I know we'll get to that. But for MM&A, the company, they say, look, there was a weak safety culture. They didn't have in place a functioning, what they call a safety management system. And this is something that's, you know, the public is becoming aware. The regulatory regime, at least in Canada, has the company draft its own set of safety protocols, submit it to the government for approval. Well, they had a piece of paper that sounded good, but according to the report, many employees, when they did inspections, didn't even know it existed, didn't know what they were supposed to be doing in terms of safety, all sorts of other things in this weak safety culture. They deferred track repairs, there was poor training, poor oversight, and also, no one was really watching. You know, the government regulators weren't walking in and saying, hey, listen, your safety management system that you're self-regulating yourself with isn't up to snuff. So there was no consequence, never got fixed.
Right. So we're working our way up the chain of responsibility here, all the way to government regulators, you know, and at the federal level in Canada. So what does the report suggest then in terms of creating a safety culture from the top down?
Well, more needs to be done, obviously. They cite poor government oversight. There's a lack of inspectors, lack of training. The government today saying, look, we're working on that. We're aware of that. We're hiring more people. The reality is there haven't been rules in place that prevented, for instance, MM&A. There were no rules at the time that would have prevented them switching from a two-man crew to a one-man crew, even though they're carrying this incredibly volatile crude oil. The Transportation Safety Board slams the regulator, saying, look, you weren't auditing. You don't do audits enough. You didn't go thoroughly enough or deeply enough. And there was no follow-up for the railway when you did find problems. So their proposals are, look, the two main recommendations from today is, number one, when you're parking those trains across the board, any operator, any railroad, not just MM&A, we need to look at enhancing the physical defenses, whether that's, you know, locking the wheels or finding new ways to physically lock down trains, especially when they're on a grade. But then there's this vague recommendation, and I'm not quite sure what it means, but they're calling on government to make sure that railways are really managed, that it's not just a system on paper, but they are effectively managed, that people are actually looking at what they're doing on the ground. And when they find shortcomings in the safety protocols, that that they're held to account.
Right. So, Dave, we've just got about 30 seconds here, but I am curious, this constellation of 18 factors behind this disaster that the report finds, what effect is that going to have on the criminal cases against the three people who have been charged here?
Well, it's tricky. You know, at the news conference, this question was asked. How can you say no one specifically is to blame, there's a whole set of factors, yet you're charging three people? The reality is each part will be held accountable. There will be three people that go to court. But in terms of the overall causes, the Transportation Safety Board said, look, there was a lot more going on in the history of the company and the government that allowed that criminal behavior, alleged criminal behavior.
Dave Seglins is with the CBC speaking to us from Toronto. Dave, thanks so much.
You're welcome.